This is The Blade and Beyond with the DC Dynamic Duo. Learn every detail about life on both ends of the knife. And now, live from Washington, D.C., your hosts, board-certified facial plastic surgeon, Dr. Michael Salmanik, and board-certified plastic surgeon, Dr. Troy Pittman.
We are back. Okay, everybody. It is Wednesday, June 15th. I'm Dr. Troy Pittman. Welcome to The Blade and Beyond, episode 20.
I am Dr. Michael Salmanik, and we are smack in the middle of June.
It's Pride Month. So we've been doing a lot of Pride celebrating for the last 2 weeks. And we've not been recording for probably a month. Lots happened in the last
hiatus.
Month. Well, spring.
Spring slash early summer hiatus.
Yeah. So we went on vacation.
We did. We went on a cruise that was a mini cruise, we're going to call it, because it was a small ship that was postponed 3 times because of the pandemic. And we finally got to take the vacation.
Yeah, and it was great. We went to Croatia. We started in Venice. And you can't be in Venice. No, and you can't be in Venice without feeling like James Bond. And they pull you up to the hotel in your little water taxi.
Drinking mimosas on the canal.
It was great. And then we went to Croatia, which we'd never been to, and Montenegro, and Slovenia.
Beautiful. All of the
good places. And then we got back and we hit the ground running with the opening of the new med spa.
Which
we talked about in every episode of the podcast, how the med spa was coming.
I know.
So this is really, we should have been playing some kind of celebratory music because the med spa is finally open. Because,
yeah, every episode we're like, it's almost here, we promise, construction's almost done. Fast forward 3 months later, we're like, it just opened. So we're really ecstatic that it opened.
June 1st, we opened the doors.
It is gorgeous.
It's so great.
It's beautiful. The lighting, I feel so at ease when I walk in there. My heart rate kind of normalizes.
Well, I think it's
one massage.
What I love is that my office is right by the hallway where patients are coming in and getting their facials. And so I get to hear everyone's first reaction all day long as I'm sitting in my office, which is so amazing. I heard one patient say, "I feel like I'm in the future." Because of all of the crazy lighting. I had a patient say that they thought they were in a spaceship.
That's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, okay. So people are loving it. We're very proud of it. We're having our big, grand opening party in the fall.
It's going
to
be great.
Because no one comes to anything during the summer. But check it out. Visit sbmedspa.com to see our expanded new menu of services. And that's that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have not only our estheticians who are highly skilled and amazing at what they do, we have lymphatic massage therapists. We're in the middle of getting some really quality therapeutic massage therapists.
Yeah, and sports massage.
And don't forget our IV hydration lounge with those cool little massage chairs that we have. That I plan on spending most of the end of my days in. So there's
plus
so
amazing
much
facialists. I mean, I do think we have the best estheticians in the city.
They are quality. I mean, they know they are in line with what we do. They produce such amazing results with their patients, and most of them are our patients as well. So we see a lot of cross. What do you call that?
Cross referral. It's been a long day.
Listen,
usually this
everyone,
is Sunday
it's the
morning.
End of the day.
Although today, so we expanded our budget for the podcast and we bought a third microphone, which now allows us to have guests. And we have a very special guest today that we're going to get to in a little bit.
Yes.
But also we're going to have our lymphatic massage specialist come into the podcast and talk about the benefits of massage. We're going to have our staff talk about what they do and their expertise. So when we move into season 2 of the podcast, we can actually have 3 people because now we have 3 microphones, not just 2.
And we'll talk about some controversial issues.
Yeah, and today we're doing our podcast from the conference room in our office. I feel very fancy because usually we're just kind of sitting in our pajamas at our dining room table.
Yes, this is like more like a studio.
Three microphones, high budget. We have a guest. I mean, we've really, episode 20, we've really taken it up a notch.
Okay, so now we're going to move on because we do have a special guest anxiously awaiting.
Yes.
To join us. So we're going to do...
In the news.
So I think on the top of everyone's social media feed these days is the Justin Bieber drama and his facial paralysis. And he's certainly not the first one that's gotten this, but and he will not be the last. But he has something called Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. And it is a manifestation of the varicella-zoster virus. So most of us that are in our, we'll say mid to late 30s and 40-year range have not been vaccinated against chickenpox and have had it, in fact. A lot of our younger team members here have actually been vaccinated and never had chickenpox, which is sort of an interesting perspective. But those who have had chickenpox, the virus passes, it lays dormant and never leaves you as any virus. And what happens is, in some random people, it creates a facial paralysis on one side of the face. Frequently starts out with something that manifests in the inner ear. So with my background in ENT, you know, we used to see people kind of complain of like ear pain, something random.
When it first started.
And then like almost like these little like vesicles, like little blisters in the ear. And that always preceded the facial paralysis. Facial paralysis happens, and then the treatment is really waiting and putting them on steroids. So most people recover from this perfectly fine. There are a small percentage of people that I think that are older, have other comorbidities that may not fully recover. So he put an update on online today. It was all over, and I guess his facial nerve...
Oh, he's totally recovered.
Is he totally recovered, or it's getting better? No, it's getting better slowly.
Okay, so I have a question, because I kind of like jokingly, because it was Justin Bieber, said herpes, but herpes simplex virus and varicella zoster are not the same virus.
That's right.
So can you tell us a little bit about... I think a lot of people... with this story, they thought at first he had Bell's palsy. So what's the difference between Bell's palsy and Ramsey-Hunt syndrome?
Well, there's sort of, the syndrome is characterized by sort of a trifecta of things, the ear pain, the vesicles, and then the facial nerve paralysis. Facial nerve paralysis is commonly referred to as Bell's palsy when it's sort of idiopathic, meaning we don't really know where it's coming from. So it is a phenomenon that is within the same family. And you can't use them interchangeably, but it is sort of like, we're gonna call it, for lack of better descriptors, a form of Bell's palsy, because it's a viral origin, we kinda know where it's coming from.
It's treated the same.
It's treated exactly the same as Bell's palsy, so he basically has a form of that, but this form has a much better recovery rate, because not everyone with Bell's palsy fully recovers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I've seen lots of patients with
facial paralysis
who need facial reanimation because they've had Bell's palsy.
Yes, so it is a real thing. But it seems he's recovering. It as always, when a celebrity is affected with something like this, it increases awareness and brings to light something that it's not completely common. So. But still, it brings awareness. So
well,
I just want to talk about that.
We send our best to Justin Bieber and hope for a full recovery. Okay, so we have our first guest on The Blade and Beyond.
So excited.
Very exciting. So we are going to introduce Val. And what we're going to be talking about today is mommy makeover and revision breast surgery. And so we invited Val because... she had both revision breast surgery and a mommy makeover.
Yes.
So, Val, welcome.
Thanks for inviting me. It's kind of nice to see what goes on behind these podcasts.
It's not as glamorous as
it
sounds.
It really isn't as glamorous, I know.
No, it's actually really fun to watch.
Good.
Watch you guys at work.
So can you tell us, so you had breast surgery, and when I met you, you were seeking out a revision, and you were seeking out mommy makeover. So tell us a little bit about kind of why you were seeking out those surgeries.
Yeah, the main catalyst was really, I was coming up with my 40th birthday, and looking back on the past decade, I realized that I had put myself kind of behind everyone else in my life, which is what a lot of women, I think, do. They put their loved ones ahead of you, ahead of themselves. And I had also, as you mentioned, had a breast lift and breast augmentation about 11 years prior to that, prior to now. And it was about time to have a revision. My health really needed to be put kind of at the forefront of my priority list, which it hadn't been. So I set a goal that I wanted to lose weight, and a big kind of achievement or a reward at the end of that goal was to get a mommy makeover. Mm-hmm. You know, I needed to get a revision anyways, and I knew I wanted to do a little something special to reward all the hard work that I was planning on putting in by the time I turned 40. And that's really kind of what was the catalyst for looking for a good surgeon.
And would you say that your revision breast surgery was more recovery or less recovery than your first surgery?
So I'd say if I had to isolate the breast surgery is not really a difficult recovery. I think because it was paired with I ended up having a tummy tuck and some liposuction. I think that combining those is a lot.
It's aggressive.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, it's doable. It's totally doable. But I think that having just had the breast augmentation and the breast lift on its own would have been a
much
fine
more
recovery.
Manageable.
Yeah, totally. It would have been a much more manageable recovery. I think when you have your whole abdomen, you know, having to recover that type of incision plus your breasts and everything, it does intensify the recovery.
Sure.
But it was totally fine.
Now, you had a full tummy tuck, so that involves mm-hmm. tightening the abdominal wall. You have children. You had a little bit of a diastasis recti, and we tighten those muscles to repair the diastasis.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say, can you explain to women who may be considering abdominoplasty what that feels like after surgery?
I mean, it feels great. It looks great. I didn't really notice any issues with it, I would say. I don't really notice it that much. If you asked me, like, what it feels like post-recovery.
Did it feel tight right after surgery?
Okay, so it did, but I've heard some other people that have told me that it feels incredibly tight for a really long time. And it did feel tight. I mean, it does. But I don't think it's anything. Yeah, I don't think it's anything uncomfortable that
yes.
you have to be concerned with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that, you know, is unmanageable or that you can't like function in your day to day afterwards.
Were you at all concerned about the incisions?
Yeah, totally, absolutely. I mean, with a tummy tuck, you're replacing where your belly button is, and then how, you know, you have this long kind of horizontal, depending on, I guess, what type of tummy tuck you do, this horizontal scar. And yeah, I was concerned about where it would be, how visible it would be, et cetera. But, you know, I think, as you remember, I brought in a bathing suit, actually, and you marked me up kind of based on what the type of swimsuit I would be wearing.
In the pre-op area?
Yeah.
Oh my
before,
God.
Before pre-op, I brought, yeah.
I really like for patients who know that they're going to wear a bikini after a tummy tuck, I really like to have them bring in their, and I said bring in the smallest dream bikini.
Totally.
And we mark that out so we can keep the incision within that swimsuit.
And it's been hidden. Like, I mean, I've worn pretty low bikinis and it hasn't been an issue at all with underwears. You know, underwear, you can wear different types and styles and everything. But the style that I wear regularly, it's totally hidden.
And one of the questions that I get from patients all the time for mastopexy augmentation or our mm-hmm. augmentation with a lift,
yeah.
you have the incision around the areola, the incision down the center, and then some women have an incision underneath in the fold, like the old traditional anchor incision. And that's something that women get very trepidatious about, having those incisions on their breasts. Do you want to speak a little bit about that?
I mean, I think the past, I kind of have two surgeries to reference, right? And I mean, this is kind of a compliment, I guess, to you. The surgery I had previously, not to speak ill of another surgeon, but it wasn't nearly the quality of work. and it wasn't a bad surgeon, but it wasn't nearly the quality of work that I would have liked. And I think if you're finding a reputable, highly skilled surgeon, I don't think you have to be apprehensive about it. I think aesthetically, it's not a concern. I mean, it's faint. It's definitely the scar that you gave me is very flat.
Yeah, it's not invisible, but it's
correct.
A favorable
it's not,
scar, right?
Exactly. It's not this atrocious, jagged thing. It's a very modest, petite, thin scar. It will fade, as I know from experience. It does lighten. And
sure.
Just based on how it's healing now, 1 year later, compared to my previous surgery, it's very different. So it's healing much better. Cleanliness all around, it's a lot better of a surgery and incision overall.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the important thing I try to relay to women all the time is that when we're doing augmentation with mastopexy, we're really trading the incisions on the breast for better breast shape, better support. And I see so many women who didn't want to have an incision on their breast, and they ended up either being convinced to have very large implants, so they end up having saggy breasts that they trade for very large saggy breasts, and they're unhappy, or they just don't have the skin to lift the nipple into the right position, and then their nipples are always pointing down. And then they need a revision, so they go through the whole augmentation process. 2 years later, they say, I'm still saggy, or I feel big and saggy, when really, if they would have had a mastopexy with the augmentation in the first place, they would have saved themselves a lot of trouble. But there are incisions. I don't like to call them, we have an argument, I don't like to call them scars.
Mm-hmm. Which they are.
They're incisions,
mm-hmm.
And incisions do heal. Mm-hmm. And anytime we cut the skin, it leaves a mark. But obviously, what
oh my God, you try every other way to say, to not say scar. You're like, it leaves a mark. It's an incision. I mean, it is a scar. It's a beautiful scar, but it's a scar.
It's an incision that is healing.
Okay.
So
back to you, Val.
Okay. And then you were kind enough to be our very first patient in our practice for Avelie.
Yeah.
And for those of you that haven't listened to the last podcast, Avelie.
Shame on you.
Avelie is a revolutionary treatment for cellulite, specifically the dimples in the butt and the little horizontal dimples on the thighs that are caused by cellulite. And we really haven't had anything this focused and streamlined ever.
Well, because it's a tool that's physically cutting the bands, like we talked about last time, which
exactly.
Some other things are injectables, which, you know, don't really work. And this is like a little claw that cuts the band.
This is plastic surgery of the body described by a facial plastic surgeon.
It is, but it works. It's amazing.
So you had Avelie. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience with that?
Everybody should get it.
Okay, that's a good...
I'm signing up, Val. You convinced
literally
me.
Literally everybody should get it. It's amazing. And, I mean, obviously, I had it done as a part of some other procedures, but the bruising was normal. I mean, there was some minor bruising. I would think it's, like, nothing that's unexpected.
How long did your bruising last?
I mean, probably, if I had to remember, it was less than 2 weeks, probably a week, and that was... It was a little hard to tell because I had some other stuff done.
Sure.
But it wasn't terrible. It really wasn't.
Where were the dimples you were bothered by?
In my rear.
So on the
and
butt.
Then, yeah. Did I have any on my thigh?
A little bit on the thigh, kind of underneath the butt
yes,
crease.
Yes, yes, yes. So painful. You know what? It felt like a little sharp, right, afterwards, like... You know, obviously something's going into that area.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it was a little painful, I would say for a few days, but not very long.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of a hard swelling in the sites where you did cut that.
The fibrous bands.
The fibrous bands,
yep.
Yeah. Where you cut that, I did have some swelling. And I think that swelling is what made it a little bit painful and uncomfortable. But it wasn't like anything absurd. Like if you have a bump or something and you kind of feel like a bruise or you hit your leg on the side of
a goose egg, a little goose
yeah,
egg.
Yeah, even less. It's nothing like very intrusive that was really a big deal. But I think that didn't take long to pass. And I think if you mobilize it, it felt a lot better, to be honest with you. And but the results were incredible. So this is what I'm saying, though. Despite the bruising, I mean, if you kind of plan it and time it properly, and you know that you're not going to be in a swimsuit for a few weeks, basically.
Just a few weeks.
Because really, you just want the bruising to go away. Because sure. If the bruising wasn't there, the cellulite's gone.
Yeah, how like, quickly do you see gone. Them? So it's like you...
No, it's
the
gone.
The next day, you take like a dressing down, like walk me through.
Like if you were... If I had zero bruising and I was to walk out, I could... put on anything and the cellulite is completely gone.
Immediately.
Right. So that's immediate. I mean that's what's so amazing about this is not an injectable that you're waiting for the injectable to dissolve the band. Mm-hmm. This is something that is anatomic. Cellulite is anatomic. And so when we put the little claw in, as you like to say,
a little knife.
When we put that in and we cut that band, the band is cut. And so the thing that is tethering the skin down is gone. And so the skin is actually going to recover. There's some swelling behind the skin. But it sounds like you had a smooth butt when you woke up, other than the swelling and the bruising.
I tried to look at it. I mean, obviously, I was like a little... I couldn't get up exactly, you know, perfectly. But as soon as I was able to look at it, which was... I mean, it might have been a day or so later, a couple yeah. days later... When I looked at it, it was very smooth. I was, you know, you have to really be able to look behind some of the bruising. Because it wasn't incredibly bruised the first day. It took a little bit of time. Yeah, it definitely delayed. The bruising was like, I think it got its worst, like on the second or third day.
Sure.
Probably is when it really got darker and then it started to improve.
And so you had your procedure about 8 weeks ago?
Yeah, maybe 8-9 weeks.
And how are things now?
I mean, the bruising's obviously gone. The swelling, the little nodules or goose eggs that you referenced, those are all gone.
And how's the contour?
Great. Perfect.
There
I mean,
you
I,
go.
I literally put on a dress the other day, and I didn't need to wear anything to try
wow.
to smooth the rear, and I was shocked. I mean, it's something I've literally never had. Because, I mean, at any point, whether you're in shape or not, overweight or not, women have cellulite.
Sure.
And so having that cellulite is, you know, people wear Spanx, they wear whatever to try to cover it up. And for the first time, I think in my life, I was able to not have to wear that. And it was great.
I love that. I mean,
yeah,
that
me too.
is so great to hear. And we're very excited about Avelle. Obviously, we're seeing women now all the time for consults who have these issues, and the fact that, you know, I used to say to women, if I could find a way to fix cellulite, I would buy a private island and we would retire. But we've really found it. It's crazy. We just didn't invent it.
We
so
did
we're
not
still
invent
working,
it for the record.
And
so
we're
we are not
it
buying
here.
A private island.
What advice would you give for women who are about to turn 40 who are a little bit hesitant about mommy makeovers?
I think don't waste any time. I think the longer you wait, the less gratification you have for enjoying your perspective on life, your enjoyment of your body. It's just, you know, if you look good, you feel good. And I think it's women put themselves last at times. You know,
mm-hmm.
we're caregivers. I think we take care of other people, our families first.
Everybody.
And everyone else around us. And I think it's time to be a little bit selfish and enjoy that time now, and you have so many more years to enjoy your new revitalized self earlier, so you can get so much more enjoyment out of it.
I love that perspective.
I know, that's so great. And you've been so generous as far as giving your time, and we love having you here, and we love happy
time.
Patients. anything else that you want our listeners to know?
Definitely listen to what your doctors say post-op.
Oh, I love this advice.
Please.
This is cool. We didn't even rehearse. I
no.
didn't even give you a script.
No, there was no notes.
This is
yeah.
100%. No, I think a lot of people don't take care of themselves after surgery. They think they can just kind of wing it, or they don't have to follow exact instructions. And your post-op care is so crucial to
mm-hmm.
what you're spending all this money and all this effort in.
100%.
To your surgery, you have to do it properly and invest in yourself and take care of yourself to have the best results.
And did you do lymphatic massage after your
procedures? I did. And that was, I think that it, for people who want a quicker recovery, I think that it's a big push in accelerating your recovery. And
sure.
I think that it improves enhances, I think, the surgeon's work. But I the biggest thing is I think it accelerates kind of the recovery that patients have, or at least in my experience, have post-surgery. So
perfect. Well, I love that. And thank you so much for joining us today. We didn't rehearse any of this.
So much.
And Val has not been paid or coerced.
No.
We gave her a bottle of water and a Pride t-shirt.
Two bottles of water.
That's right. It's right here.
All right. So, Dr. Somanik, that is it. We've made it through episode 20.
That is it. Welcome to the new season, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Again, thank you, Val, for joining us. We appreciate it more than you know.
Anytime.
We have some exciting new things, as we alluded to, coming up this season. We hope you all tune in. We're going to be trying to do it weekly, pending our travel schedule, which I think is going to be a little bit slower for the summer. So we'll knock out some good episodes for everyone. As always, if you have any questions for us, you know how to follow us on Instagram at SomanikMD, at Troy Pittman.
You don't have to give those. We have a play out.
But I don't care.
We're high budget now.
I don't care.
We have a voiceover
person. Anyway, DM us and send us questions, because we actually do take these things and make topics out of them. So we always love input. So have a wonderful rest of your week.
You're really vamping away because you haven't been able to talk during this podcast, and it's driving you crazy.
I'm just saying my farewell today. You guys, and next week we have facial plastic surgery galore, so we will see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's a wrap. Remember to share the podcast with your friends. Follow the docs on Instagram at SomanikMD, at Dr. Troy Pittman, and at DC Dynamic Duo. To learn more about the procedures discussed on today's podcast, visit www.SomanikPittmanMD.com. That's www.SomanikPittmanMD.com.